That was terrible. Hello, and welcome to Why Do They Do That? A show where three friends read up and discuss stories that entertain and baffle us. Hosting the show is Ben, Brendan, and myself, Alan.
Big pan pants, band and cheese. I'm just a...
What's going on, boys?
All right, mate. All right. Alan, why'd you sound like a game show host?
I decided to go for the game show host vibe.
I'm digging it, man.
Straight up the bat, I think a little bit like Jimmy Carr. You also don't pay your taxes.
So what's been happening in the 3 weeks since we last recorded?
Is that my new name? That's how Alan would say it. Mate, it's been so long. We've just obviously we've just been chatting off mic about how long it's been and depressing. And I'm looking at you two like you're two strangers. What has happened in the last 3 weeks? So obviously today's Freedom Day. That's what it's been dubbed as. Freedom / everybody in the country has now got COVID Day. That's how that's working out. But do you know what? I took it on. I didn't wear a mask on the bus today. What else happened? My dog has got a lot bigger and therefore a lot more aggressive. Which is quite nice. My garden looks like a fucking minefield, mate. The amount of holes in that grass now that it just digs to nowhere. So that's fun. But apart from that, everything's all gravy. What about you, Alain Benet?
Oh, yeah, I've been really good. Just to sort of latch on to, obviously, Freedom Day, did you see on the news this morning that people were queuing up at midnight so they could enter the nightclub for the first time after 16 months?
Hold on, that's dedication. I don't know whether Ben's feeling good about it or bad about it, because I reckon we might have mixed feelings here. Go on, Ben.
No, Alan, you carry on. Go on.
Oh, yeah. Also, just want to say, I like your little comment of off mic. I thought that was very, very industry. Nice.
Sit now, mate. We're professionals.
We are. My week's been not too bad. I had a telephone consultation with a doctor from the Livy app. Basically, I was like, because I suffer with hay fever quite bad. Don't know if you guys know.
Jesus but Christ.
I basically get an inhaler over the course of the summer months. Just so that when the breathing gets a little bit difficult, I take a pump on the inhaler and I can breathe again. And I basically, this is the first summer I've had it. And after a month or so of using it, I phoned them up. I said, listen, can I get another inhaler? I was like, they said, why? I was like, well, because I've been using it. I'd like a top up. I don't know how many pumps are in these bad boys. I'm going to need another one. They're like, how many times are you using it? I said, oh, probably twice a day. They're like, oh, no, you could die. I was like, what? You could die. I was like, from an asthma inhaler. They're like, yeah, you're only supposed to do it once or twice a week. I was like, once or twice? It doesn't say that on the box. It doesn't say that. Anyways, I had to go back to the doctors, and they've given me two inhalers. So
maybe they're trying to tell you something else. Do it four times a day.
Kill me off with asthma.
Four times a day.
I think I'm pretty sure those inhalers have steroids in them, so it's probably not a good idea to be pumping your already ripped torso with roids.
Now, this is explaining a lot, isn't it?
Anyway.
The asthma that's making you, that's doing it.
It's explaining the aggression.
So apart from that, the hay fever's gone down. We also got a new parasol for the garden. That was nice. It's a cantilever one, just putting that out there. Apart from that, I've finished school finally, which is a summer that has been long awaited. And apart from that, I am now just looking forward to hanging out with my two brethren, watching rugby on Saturday. Come on, you Boca!
Ah, that's what it's going to be, isn't it? I forgot about that. Shit. I forgot this is the one time of year that he supports South Africa. So, Ben, how are you?
Yeah, cheers, Dan.
Yeah. So, Ben... Sorry.
Do you know what? I honestly, loads of things could have happened in the last 3 weeks, but the only thing I can concentrate at the moment is what's happened today. And what's happened today is I've had to spend 8 hours in a classroom that is hotter than Jessica Chastain doing press-ups in the sun. And normally, the classrooms are farty void box of knowledge anyway. But today, it was even worse. It was like 35 degrees in the class. Kids telling me it was hot as well, which, you know, after 45 times, isn't funny. And then, you know, that I'm a, I think the term is a prolific crop duster in the classroom. Well, I've not been regulating the volume of my crop dusting due to the weather. So it stinks. I'm angry. I'm constantly damp. Like, just, I've just got things sloshing around my trousers. It's just, I don't know whether it's my age or the weather. I'm pissed off. I'm sweating now. Slush. And all I'm doing is talking.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done, Jen. This is the last episode I'm ever doing because I've got sweat on my boobs. I'm just, apart from that though, man, I am top draw.
Oh, man. Top draw indeed, my friend. Top draw indeed. Should we do some stories?
It's you first, isn't it, Al?
You better believe it.
So you bring the day of freedom and I'll provide a bunch of wankers who have never been oppressed.
Oh, mate, how very topical.
Today, we have a story that hails from Belgium, circa 2020, and it reads as follows. A racing pigeon from Belgium has set a new world record after being sold for more than $1.4 million. Pounds, sorry. Jesus, that's pounds. New Kim, a three-year-old female, was initially put up for auction for just 200 euros. But after a two-week bidding war, she fetched a staggering 1.6 million euros. During a frantic last half hour, two Chinese bidders operating under the pseudonyms of Super Duper and Hitman drove up the price.
Is that like an early 90s rap duo?
Kept on driving up the price. Super Duper submitted the winning bid. The bird's breeder and owner, Kurt van der Wawa, said he and his family were in shock at the news. The final total left the previous record set by fellow Belgian bred bird Armando trailing behind around £314,000. Armando, who was nicknamed the Lewis Hamilton of pigeons for his racing prowess, was retired when he was put up for sale in 2019. New Kim won a number of competitions in 2018, but has now retired. Belgians have long stood out as the best breeders, both because of the generations of long experience. Everybody's interested in our pigeons, Pascal Baudy-Jarin, head of Belgian Pigeon Federation, explained. To the best, it has to be your life's work. For some, it may seem boring, day in, day out, winter and summer. Always those pigeons. China often features one loft racing where pigeons are housed in a single coop for months and then released hundreds of miles away. They must then use this unique sense of orientation and special speed training to make their way home. So there you are. So that was an article out of thestandard.co.uk. Evening Standard, that is.
Al, first question for you. What is a pigeon capable of if it's worth £1.5 million?
Looking into it, I think it's just racing pigeons, right? And I didn't really understand what racing pigeons were, so I went onto Wikipedia, because fuck it, that's as good as anywhere else.
Hold on a second. You don't know what racing pigeons are? The clue is in the name.
But how can you regulate whether they're sticking to the rules of the race? They're up
what
in the
do
sky.
You mean the rules of the race? They race from one point to another point, and what they do is
pigeons?
they have tags on their legs, so you know which ones come home first.
All right, then. Another question. What's the point?
Bet. Gambling.
It's like the TV was never invented.
Same reason you get the smallest man you possibly have ever met, stick him on the back of a horse and say, go on, mate, make us a million.
It boggles the cheese box. And I honestly didn't know what it was. I understand the role of them, you know, back in the day for messages.
Did you never watch? Oh, mind you, you're probably a little bit young for it, to be fair. There was a thing that I used to watch, and they used to put it on when I was at school, called Geordie Racer. It was about racing pigeons. It was about a kid that owned a racing pigeon. It was like, you know, typical kids' TV. It was shit.
And Al, we get shit for what we do in the classroom nowadays.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, when will I ever use that? Fucking hell. Go train a pigeon, son.
Geordie pigeon. I'm not too sure you can trust a pigeon, let alone a pigeon that's worth £1.5 million.
Well, you know, if he's quick, mate, and, you know, if he, obviously he is, and if he earns you a lot of money, then, you know, it's better than spending £15 million on a horse.
Well, I think they're both ludicrous activities, to be honest, but I'm much more intrigued by the notion of trusting a bird.
Well, apparently they're very intelligent animals. Like, you know, the recognition test where only a certain number of animals can look at their image in a mirror and identify that it's them. A lot of other animals will try and fight the mirror image.
That's me. I'd fail that test.
Depending on what kind of a test you're giving out, it's depending on how intelligent that you decipher an animal is. So just because a bird can do that, it cannot, like, pass any other tests, you know, whereas...
Yeah, no, like, it can't pass a driving test.
Work out things, and dogs obviously can move sheep. And, you know, there's a big scope there. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think... But they are really clever, like, They basically, as well, they track their way home. They're known as, obviously, homing pigeons. The specific breed for racing is called the racing homer. Bit of a fun fact for you. But because of, like, modern sort of innovation, they not only just sort of, like, will just fly north or south or east or west by compass bearing or by magnetism as they used to. Now they follow motorway pathways, and they will look down and it'll be like, fucking hell, it is clogged on the M42. And take a different motorway. They'll even fly to their junction rather.
I don't get it.
Piss off. Piss off, is that true?
No, it is true.
I'm gonna come at you like a mighty bar now. How can you know that they do that?
I'm siding with Alan on this. I've seen articles, I've read up on this. They do indeed do that. They do follow motorways and they see landmarks and they remember things like that. So then they know which way they need to turn next. But my point of this is, how do they know? How do they know the difference between the M1 and the M6, for instance? Are they looking, going, oh, well, this is definitely the M6 because it's the toll road and no fuckers on it? How do they know?
Going back to your previous comment, Dan, they must be clever if they can navigate the motorways of this country.
Yeah, right, fair enough.
I have a pigeon-related story, and I can say this on this podcast because Gemma doesn't listen to it. There's been a lot of anger from Gemma in the last couple of days about the amount of pigeon feces that are on our cars, because we live in a village, and that's as exciting as it gets. Now, this is not normal pigeon shit. These are like Toblerone-sized missiles from the sky. And one day she came out and she's like, what's this? What's this? They're everywhere. And I put spikes up on the roof. And she's like, they must be getting fed somewhere. And then that's when it hit me. I've just been dumping all of my bread and my pita bread and all this stuff just over the fence rather than throwing it. Like, I'm doing something for the ducks and the birds. All I've done is encourage a gaggle of pigeons. What's the collective name? Is it a punnet?
A flock.
Thanks. A flock of pigeons have just been bio-vandalising our cars every day. And Jem's like shouting up at the sky, and it's me, it's my fault.
You've been feeding them mouldy bread, which is making them...
Mouldy bread, pulled pork.
Their arses out, mate. Start feeding them baking soda.
No, that's dark, that is.
But yeah, I think they... I will argue the hilt about them not being intelligent, but it's the thought of people bet on this stuff. It boggles my mind.
Oh, mate, people are betting anything. Do you know, I mean, I'm not being funny. A couple of episodes ago, we were talking about people betting on rubber ducks being taken by a current in a stream.
Yeah, fair one.
People will bet on anything, won't they? Absolutely. I'm going to start making bets of which one of my fingernails grows quickest.
I'll get me a slice of that action.
I'll give you really good odds.
There's the Irish in you coming out again. I'll have a bit in there.
The significant price hike is quite interesting as well.
I think that in China, the gambling culture has grown exponentially over the last few years. And horses, pigeons... Hungarian basketball leagues are no just no one is safe from a gamble of a Chinese populace. But yeah, I suppose as they've become more and more opulent as a culture, they just blow off steam through gambling. and pigeons is the newest one. And you're just like, mate, there's loads of other things you can gamble on. You could even do in-play gambling while watching football.
Pigeons are used for so much more interesting things. Like, there was an article, which I'm definitely going to use in the future, where prisoners of a particular prison in this country were creating these little knapsacks, these little satchels for pigeons, filling it full of rustle dust and street drugs, and the pigeons would fly into the prison and then drop the drugs off, like a homing pigeon, but a drug mule. A drug mule pigeon?
A crack pigeon.
a crack pigeon.
To be fair, though, like, pigeons, you know, we do say that they are really clever. I'd like to equate them to gangster rappers, and I'll tell you for why. Mainly because you could clean your car, right? And then as soon as you finish, they'll shit on it. They just don't give a damn. Much like the gangster rappers.
apparently, according to Ben, they just shit on his car 24/7, mate.
That's the gangster rapper in them. They're just like, what?
Gangster rap have you been listening to where rappers are defecating on people's cars?
No, those are some of the lyrics.
MC Poo.
MC Poo.
Who is a real MC, by the way.
Snoop Pidgey Pidge.
It's fascinating to me that a bird could go for that much money.
It's absolutely insane. And some of the money that some of these animals go for. I've seen the world's most expensive cat was $41,500. The world's most expensive beetle, $89,000.
Which one? Insect. Ringo, John, Paul?
Dad bastard.
That was good, that was. The most expensive fish was $396,000, which was a bluefin tuna. There we go. And the world's most expensive sheep was $377,000, that is, dollars. I don't know. It honestly must have paid out to every Welshman.
Capitalist scum. I love them.
But then when you're looking at the other end of the scale, so the world's most expensive horse, mate, was 16 million.
This is what I don't understand. If you're paying that money, you want it to do something unhorse-like. Like, if you're paying 16 million, I want my horse to do data entry or at least produce milk or cheese that I can eat. Well, you can't milk a horse.
Check this. So this horse was called the Green Monkey, right? And in 2006, it sold for 16 million. And then just 2 years later, the horse was retired after making only $10,000 in prizes.
Oh,
great investment. They deserve it. Whoever's got $16 million lying around and buying a horse with it, you deserve to not make any money back, mate. Anyhow.
I agree.
Yeah, no, that's, that is a shocker, that is. Apparently, as well, loads of people have said recently in the news, abattoirs have had to kill off a fair whack of horses because just like at the end of their life, they just send them to the abattoir, or if they're finished racing with them, or they're just like retiring them, they don't like put them out to pasture anymore. They send them straight to the abattoir for killing. So your expense, that could be some seriously expensive horse meat right there.
I thought that Tesco's had more lasagnas in.
Anyways, boys, that's our story on pigeons and horses, apparently, and all sorts of other expensive wildlife.
50 cent back in a turd up onto my car. Cheers, Alan. That was beautiful.
Well done, Al. Okay, over to you, Ben. I don't have an introduction, so you just tell me a story.
Will do. Will do, Brendan. This story is from theregister.com. Radioactive hybrid terror pigs have made themselves a home in Fukushima's exclusion zone. Human resettlement after 2011's nuclear disaster, facing opposition from indestructible betusked interlopers. What a sentence. Scientists have uncovered a new threat to humanity, like we need another one. Emerging in the area surrounding the former Fukushima nuclear power plant, indestructible radioactive hybrid pigs. So these details emerge of how the radiation from the partial nuclear meltdown of the planet in 2011 has affected local wildlife. These wild boars are normally quite aggressive anyway. This is a strange process considering the large-scale human evacuations and similar rewilding situations occurred in the area surrounding the site of Chernobyl. So some boffins have been looking at the project and they've gone to the zone and found out that in the surrounding areas of the depopularized buildings, these boars have just been roaming around effing S up for no reason. And this is one of my favorite lines of the whole article. The local wild boar, a subspecies endemic to the region known as the Japanese boar, also known as the white mustached pig.
White mustached pig. Is he an admiral?
These pigs have created fiefdom covering the local area that was once occupied by 160,000 humans. They have now become cocky and aggressive and also lost their natural wariness. This marauding boar became interbreeding with domestic pigs. So not only has a boar become like a radioactive boar, it's also been having sex with local pigs. So now you've got these domestic nuclear pig boars. The pigs, for their part, were ill-suited to life in the wild in a radioactive post-apocalyptic hellscape and presumably threw in their lot with a tough, wily boar as their best chance of survival. So just to clarify, radioactive boars started having sex with normal pigs. Normal pigs rejected society, and now they're starting roaming around with these radioactive boars. That is some aggro swine.
Aggro swine. I'll be honest, though, the thing that it makes me happy about is the fact that this wildlife, you know, is obviously still thriving and still living. Because if movies have taught me anything, mate, is when there's nuclear war, the radioactive fallout is these animals, mate, just become hungry for human skin. Yeah. So the fact that they're not hungry for human skin kind of like settles my anxiety down a little bit, knowing that, you know, after Wuhan, we are approaching apocalyptic times.
Absolutely. I agree. But like Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park, life finds a way. So wherever you wherever you have animals, regardless of what we do to them, regardless of how ignorant we are, they will find a way. And not only will they find a way, but they'll also have sex with the local non-radioactive animals and create a super group.
I want them to start having sex, not just with, like, I don't want boars to have sex with pigs. Honestly, mate, I want them to go full on giraffes. Like, I'd like to see, like, a radioactive baby made from a giraffe and a boar together. Can you imagine that? Fast as fuck, but just headbutts you from afar.
So I watched, after I read this story for the first time, it reminded me of a program I watched where there was a radioactive sort of, like, pig, wild boar, but there was also a radioactive rhino, and they were battling against these radioactive turtles.
Teenage mutant heroes in a half shell. I used to love that when I was a kid. That was amazing.
The rhino and the wild boar.
Rocksteady and
Bebop. Yes. Well done, mate.
I am. Ben, you are right. It was a film, but it was a terrible film, but the cartoon series was just next level. Shredder was my ultimate favorite person ever. I was like, yeah, man, I just feel sorry for him. He never wins. Like, I wish he just bought a break. Honestly, I was hoping that one day he'd catch Splinter and just go, do you know what? No messing around. I'm just going to rip your head off today.
Also, we're overlooking the fact that Splinter groomed those turtles. In nature's hierarchy, you never see a rat controlling reptiles, so he groomed those poor tails. Al, what's your opinion on radioactive horny boars?
There's an interesting sentence where it says their natural weariness, right? And I disagree with that, because when I was growing up in Zimbabwe, every now and again, we'd go on a bushwalk, right? And there was bush pigs out there. But the bush pigs were never what they'd call naturally weary. So we were walking along once, and all of a sudden we saw these bush pigs, and my relatives were over from England. They were like, oh, this is cute, man. Let's go say hi. I was like, no, you can't go say hi. You'll be attacked. They're like, no, they're naturally wary. I'm like, this is bullshit. I don't know where you've got your information from, but you need to step away. Anyways, this bush pig then chased us, right? It absolutely started charging at us. And what you need to know about bush pigs is that they're like badgers. They just don't care. They'll just come at you and they'll try and rip you apart. Now, obviously, I know this. You need to fear and respect the bush pig when you're out in the wild.
There you go.
Damn right you do.
Afar.
Afar, man. Afar.
Good healthy dose of afar.
especially when they've got their little piglets next to them. This honestly, they start charging. They'll charge you for no reason. They're a bit like hippos. They just don't give a shit, man. They'll just come at you.
Alan.
So in my opinion, this natural wariness, that's a lie. That isn't, I don't even think they're radioactive. I just think they're really pissed off.
I agree. And to your point, do you have any advice if someone was in a situation with or being charged by an African bush pig?
Yeah, so you've got a couple of options. Number one, if there's a close tree nearby, climb it. Your problem with that is there might be a snake in the tree, so you're screwed either way.
You both know about my terrible upper body strength and trees. Yeah, yeah. So have you got another one?
I'm the same. Can't climb trees. Can't climb trees. If running away is another one, then I'm out.
What about just curling up into a ball and crying for a Jesus fire to protect you?
How about just making a few off-the-cuff jokes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know how they say for some animals, like, swine. What you want to do is make yourself really big and imposing, and that way they'll sort of like be scared because you're just going nuts. Yeah, bush pigs don't give a shit about that. They'll attack you nonetheless. The best way of dealing with them is either running away, climbing a tree, or shooting them.
What about challenging them to a drinking competition? We're in there, aren't we, Ben? If we can do that.
I heard that their kryptonite is the Jaeger bomb, the humble Jaeger bomb.
What about if you just broke into a chorus of, "Wild boar, they will hurt you."
Wild boar.
Alan, you should have a segment of each podcast where you give us some advice about how to deal with life in the bush.
He already does. He already tells us. He shoehorns it in every time. The problem is, this is the only problem I've got with it. Alan tells us how to deal with life in the bush, but then we all know that he's living in a £1.6 million house.
No.
He's the Boris Johnson to our dumb
Cummins. I am not. Honestly, I spent most of it on a pigeon.
Alan, the only reason you know about hunting is because of your lot, trophy hunter, aren't you? You pay and they chain them up, and then you just go and like have your photo taken with a giraffe or a rhino.
I'd never do that. No, not a chance, mate. I love animals. Some of them can piss off. Snakes, they can fuck off.
Hey, leave them alone, man. I love them.
So, bearing in mind, if you take into the cinematic history of radioactive animals, what's the likelihood that at some point we're going to have to fend off a full army of radioactive subcreatures?
Okay, right. So, for me, Ben, so I know that, you know, there are places like Chernobyl and Fukushima and Hiroshima where they're actively looking at the wildlife from these, but where they're not looking is where they've set off the most nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
Which is in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, in the ocean. Right.
So they're just not looking. One day what's gonna happen is we're gonna have like 17 Godzillas are gonna come out, and then we're
or a shark just walks up onto the beach and just starts slapping people.
Punches you in the face with its fin.
I'm gonna sand, this is not the rules.
Or maybe there's some sort of anomalous weather front. And there's a tornado that pulls the sharks up, right?
Oh, mate, we could call it like Sharknado?
Sharkane. Don, you touched on it earlier on about how nice it is to see the natural world kind of fight through the effects of human like devastation and ignorance. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but all joking aside, there's a lovely documentary about Chernobyl and how the surrounding area, albeit still highly radioactive, the buildings that people used to live in and use, they're all vacant now, but the trees, it's all just kind of just grown through and almost just took back the land. And albeit it's very, very dangerous to go there, but it looks absolutely stunning.
I was going to say, not only is it dangerous to go there because of radiation, but the main things that have come out of that are brown bears, bisons, wolves and lynxes. So if you're going, yeah, there's loads of good wildlife, which there are, like, and these are gorgeous creatures, absolutely gorgeous, but they're not the kind of creatures that you can just go over with a chicken bone in your hand. Hello, mate. How are you?
Not even normally could you do that, but if they've been munching on like nuclear porridge, they're all going to have poseable thumbs and weapons.
You could just imagine you walk over and you're like, hello, mate, and he turns around, yeah, you're dead, mate.
You're in the wrong
How can you talk? Not only can I talk, mate, I can speak 16 different languages.
What kind of Lynx was it? Was it the Lynx Africa? Or...
Oh,
it was,
Alan, you were like one bastard joke on an episode.
It was Java. It was definitely Java.
You still wear Lynx, don't you?
Oh, well, when I was growing up, obviously, we used to wear Lynx Europe.
Anyway.
Sorry everybody.
I have an apology to make as well. During editing that episode, I'm not my biggest fan anyway, but shit, man, I spoke a lot last episode.
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, to be honest, mate, as an avid listener, it was quite nice not hearing Alan's voice all the way through it.
I was just like, who's this knobhead who's talking? Oh, hold on, it's me. But it's just a good job that I can edit out and make it sound like I didn't talk too much. Anyway, are we in response to the last episode where you were asking us questions about would you do this, would you do that, like daredevil type activities, would you go into a zone that you knew had been devastated by nuclear fallout and just go for a mooch?
I'd like to do the Chernobyl tour. I'd love to do that, to be honest with you. Do you know what? I want to go and see the Ferris wheel and the swimming pool. The only reason why is because years ago I was addicted to Call of Duty, and I've been there on that. So I'd like to go. It looks interesting.
I was going to see the elephant's foot, which is this primordial radioactive sludge that's really, really dangerous, and it's just in by the reactor. It's supposed to be very, very dangerous. So I might do that. I'll let you know. Come on, when I've come back, I've got no eyebrows.
I tell you what, let's go together, right? But let's both of us get taped to the underbelly of a helicopter before we go.
That's me.
I don't think the helicopter would be able to take our weight, and I certainly don't think that gaffer tape would do it either. Right.
I mean, there's other dangerous things to do, aren't there? So, like, I would walk on a volcano. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, you can walk on a volcano. You can, like, well, like, where it's still fairly molten. I'd do that. I'd swim without, you know, armbands. I'd
in a pool.
Yeah, yeah, just generally swimming. I'd, you know, wade out to at least a meter in any British seaside town. But those are the sort of danger things that I would do.
You're obviously not scared of dysentery then if you do that in the UK.
Yeah, mate, honestly, don't go to Blackpool and do that. Jesus fucking Christ, you'll come out with 6 condoms attached to you.
I was going
to
say, you'll come out pregnant. What the shit is this?
Just like a hot dog bun on your leg.
You have to carry around your Blackpool son in a basket for the rest of your life.
You know,
you can't get rid of him.
Touching up some radio action? Nah, I'm good.
You wouldn't do it, Al?
Oh, go on, then. You've convinced me.
Do you know there's a small island off the coast of Japan that is totally derelict and abandoned where they used to test nuclear weapons, and it looks beautiful. And stuff like that I'm just immediately drawn to. Like, there's this site on Reddit called Abandoned Porn, and it's just pictures and pictures of abandoned buildings. I was going to say abandoned then, but then that would show the scope of my vocabulary.
Did you get onto that because you completed all of the rest of the porn on the internet?
Lego porn. My porn. Tax evasion porn.
Did you get some sort of certificate? Well done, Ben. You have finished porn.
Just imagine. Pornhub completed it, mate. How was your lockdown? Sore.
Well, there's my story about some super funky radioactive bacon and feet.
I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed you too.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I enjoyed drink.
Brendan, you open the nightclubs and I'll show you a man who's passionate about dancing to ABBA.
You are the dancing queen.
Fort Worth tyre shop owner invested in barbed wire and a guard dog, but has still been robbed 5 times. And in a robbery 2 weeks ago, the thieves took the dog. So a guard dog at Fort Worth tyre shop did little to deter overnight thieves. They simply stole the dog too. Owner Naya Yunis said the thieves have hit the shop 5 times despite his security measures, which included adding barbed wire and obviously the dog. He said, "It makes me sick, but life goes on. I have 2 dogs now, so I hope they do help." So since December, Goody's Cars and Tires in their 3100 block of North Beach Street in Northeast Fort Worth, which is obviously in Dallas, Texas, has been burglarized 3 times. Vehicles have been stolen, and now so has the dog. That's about it, really. This was an article from Dallas News. What do you think about that, lads?
They stole a fucking dog.
That is scummy, isn't it?
Yeah, but, I mean, what kind of a guard dog is leaving themselves open to when robbers come and go, what have you got there, mate? You got some steak. I'll come in the back of that van. I'll definitely come in the back of that van. Jesus Christ, man. That dog has been Jimmy Savile'd.
You can tell me stories about the level of human suffering that would not scratch the surface with me as soon as you bring dogs into it. But then I can empathise with this. No, I can sympathise with this because I think that if someone broke into our house, albeit Denzel's a big dog, he's a loud dog, but he's also a chaise longue. He's very stupid and he's not very protective. So I think the burglars would get in, he'd bark a little bit, and then he'd just lie down. So I understand why this could happen. But in all fairness, in 2021, we probably shouldn't be relying on dogs to protect our property. It's not fucking Game of Thrones.
They didn't rely on dogs, mate. They relied on direwolves.
Which is obviously
direwolves, although massive, are still smaller than Denzel.
My question is, what's next? Because obviously, he went from having one dog that was kidnapped, and then he now has two dogs to counteract that. Now, if two of those get kidnapped, what does he get next? Does he get three dogs and a alligator, or does he get what other form of protective animal is he going
to
get?
You know what I think he needs to get? I think he needs to get a new job, mate.
Yeah. I also think he wouldn't be worried about what he's going to get next, because when they come back, they're going to steal him. Don't take me. He's like, no, I'm sorry, we've got everything else. Get in the van.
The goddamn robbers, they stole my virginity.
I mean, I'd jack it in. I'd be like, nah, there's no point in carrying on with this job. I just keep getting robbed. It's just, unless he's just claiming on insurance like an absolute warrior. Do you know what I mean? Like, God, it's happened again. This time they took the dog. You didn't have a dog.
What? You're undercover in something. I wonder if the dog that he had was just like a chihuahua.
Yeah.
I can't believe they got that dog. Oh, my God.
Alan might be honest, this might be just the dirtiest case of insurance fraud you've ever heard of.
Oh, mate. Well, do you know what? Luckily, the guy's in Dallas. He's definitely not going to listen to this podcast. We can slag him off. I know that you two are normally scared of the mafia, so luckily he's not a mafia guy.
He's in Texas, so he's probably too concerned about homosexuals breaking into his house and giving him books to read.
The problem is, though, mate, the problem is he's probably got about 32 guns.
That sound? Let him have them.
That's as well, isn't it?
Didn't do like him any good, though, did he?
He's clearly kitted up with Gats and rifles and stuff, and then he's like trying to get a little dog to protect him. You're like, mate, you are literally scamming the business here. We know that you are.
What are you saying that he should just stay up all night? He should stay at work all night and protect his business himself. Barbed wire and dogs, they ain't doing shit.
Yeah, but if you leave a dog overnight, he's going to fall asleep at some point, isn't he? It's not like you're paying him. You basically you're banking on free protection from a dog that's not really into you, considering you left him at work all night.
To be fair as well.
Not really into you, like it's a date.
Try and, I know we're a very advanced species, but we could try and create something that captured moving images and stored them so you could look at them and then take those stored images to the police. I mean, why haven't we done that? Why haven't we created like a camera type thing?
Ben, okay, well, we have created those type of things, but do you know what else has been created before that? Like a woolly hat that goes over your face. It's just got holes for your eyes.
Hey, you know about that cheese fiend who got done just by holding a block of Stilton? Don't give me that bullshit.
Hey, do not give me that bullshit. That's it. Oh, that is absolutely brilliant. Or somebody's like the sat at home with an Encro chat that they're deciphering right now. I'm deciphering WhatsApp to try and find who's stolen my tyres.
You know, if it was me, if it was me stealing from that place, they could identify me by the quite obvious slither of ass crack sweat
mate,
that I just right. have now.
I'm sorry to bring this up, but there is no way on earth you'd have scaled that fence.
I would have put 200 and gone, oh, fucking.
You'd have been running at it like that. Let's go to the pub and have another beer.
Why did you put my super mega gout foot down on it and it would have come down?
How is the club foot, by the way?
It's sound, mate. It's sound. Do you know what?
Even, strong now.
Even if it wasn't sound, I'm too hot and damp to worry about anything else.
Have you sent me you still haven't sent me that photo?
Ask yourself why.
Because I didn't know that I was going to put it on Instagram.
Yes. I agree. I'm with Alan here. Like, what the next step? If he doesn't get stolen himself, the next step is what? A griffin?
Yeah. Fuck a griffin. Just start getting some mythological creatures in. Just put a sign up. If you enter this business, a dragon will rip you apart.
He's got bloody Medusa outside his gate.
I've put wings on the dog, and now it's mythological. Calm yourself down.
Honestly, could you imagine a dog, a little poodle runs up and it's just got cardboard cut out of some wings on its back?
You would shit yourself. You'd stop and go, what's this?
Definitely stop myself and think, what is this? But I'd be honest, I'd take that home. I'd be so gutted when I got home, stoned. Oh, God, man.
But that is how you make anything mythological. Just add wings, right? That's exactly Yeah.
Unless it's a bird.
Yeah, well, no, that's how you get a double hawk.
A double...
hawk squared.
Look at that seagull go.
Yeah, this dude needs to brush up, man. He needs to brush up, look at the constitutional laws of America, buy some firearms. Or, like you both already pointed it out, pack it in, fella.
Just pack it out. Do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't think he needs to buy any more guns. Like, guns are bad. People should not have guns, man.
If you're leaving a dog overnight just to say, right, look after my stuff, I'm fairly sure the dog stole your stuff. Do you know what I
wonder if he armed the dog?
With a launcher on back.
That'd have been so good. What, like Boba Fett?
Or maybe you got like all his other dog mates around, like Rude Dog and the Dweebs, is like, yo, let's steal this shit.
How many, honestly, Ala, how many like 80s, 90s cartoon references we're going for today? This is a new record, everybody.
what was the other one you mentioned? You're on Geordie Skies,
Geordie Racer,
Geordie Shores. No,
Geordie Racer, you div. So that story, by the way, guys, was given to me by my good friend Graham Walsh. The little Irishman.
Let's give a shout out to Big Graham. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you for the story, buddy.
Cheers, Graham. You're the only person that I know who's so Irish, it looks like it hurts him when he talks. Love you, Graham. And also, don't we have to give a shout out to someone else, Brendan?
Yeah, we've got to give a big shout out to my uncle Derek. He's an avid listener. He's our one Thailand listener that we get to. He lives over there, and he texts me every week. So thanks for listening, mate.
Yeah, cheers, UD.
UD, well, no, we just call him Derek, mate. I'm not one of them. Not one of them assholes. Uncle Derek.
How boring must Thailand really be if you've got to listen to us every week?
Well, surely. He's old, so he's retired, so he's living the life. And if you're going to retire anywhere, mate, I've been to Thailand, and apart from Bangkok, Thailand is nice, mate.
Cheers, Derek. Enjoy Thailand.
Enjoy, fella. Thanks for listening.
Tell your mates about us,
both of them.
Cheers for that story, Don. That was brilliant.
I think there have been some solid stories this evening. However, we do have a tournament on the go.
What's the current score? It's 2-1 to Ben, isn't it?
For this week's Ben Don Championship, I have a list of 10 of the most frequently used ingredients within cooking. Just as before, you'll have 5 chances each. Guess many of those things on the list as possible.
I'm not, again, just to clarify, I'm not Googling. I'm just typing answers down.
Yeah. Okay. Give you time to think about your answers.
Me and Ben are really good at cooking, so this...
Okay, so Ben, first ingredient that is most popular for usage. That was terrible.
Garlic.
Garlic is not on there. It's number 13.
Eat my ass clean out. Who are these people cooking?
Mate,
who
are these people cooking? I put garlic in absolutely everything. I'm fine. Your loss is my gain. Onion.
Onion is at number 16.
I'm turning this off.
full on quitting. If it comes down to you saying brand stuff, I'm going to make a scene.
No, I swear there's no brand stuff. It's okay. Just the 10 most things popular ingredients.
Are there herbs in this list?
Well, you've mentioned something that's there already.
Is there emotions in this list? So if I say hubris, is that the list? All right, next, salt.
Salt is number 6. Well done.
Well, then I'm going to go pepper.
Oh, I wish you hadn't done.
not there.
Use pepper.
Who in the fact, fuck is putting salt in their food? Is this from America?
No, no, this is from Britain. Pepper is not even in the top 30.
Mate. Oh, get.
Mate, right, I'm done.
Mate, you know these ingredients. Once I read them out to you, you'll feel better. Right.
And once you read them out, it'll be the end of this podcast, mate.
I don't think I've ever cooked anything that I've not put salt and pepper in.
It's basic, isn't it? It's like seasoning.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You've got to expect that you are above average cookers or cooks. And therefore, half the population is using the same shit that you are.
So we're talking about muggles then. Muggles. All right. Minus 20 stickle bricks.
Is one of the ingredients Frosties?
No. Ben, it's your turn.
See what he's done there? He's kind of given us a hint. So this is not for people that actually can cook and like cooking.
So we're talking like Dolmio.
Mate, there's no sauces. It's literally... The one you've got so far is salt. I can't believe you haven't got the other ones. Come on.
Potatoes.
No.
Chicken.
Yes. Ah, chicken is number 4 on the list.
Cheese.
Cheese is number 12.
Not there.
I'm so close to crying.
I'm going to go with pasta.
No.
Oh, you're right. I'm going off piece now. Mince.
Oh, I need more.
Pork mince.
Right, I'm taking pork as number 10.
Hold on. Right, no. The other week when I said squeezy cheese, you just simply went no. Right, now he said mince, and you've gone, oh, what kind of mince? And then he's gone pork mince, and you've gone, pork mince isn't on there, but pork is on there.
Okay, see what? I won't have that one. What? All right, so what wasn't number 10, dude?
Pork.
Okay, so I won't have pork mince. That's not fair. That's like me saying meat, and you go, venison. You're correct.
Okay, fine. We'll take that
Still 1-1.
Tomatoes. Or tomato. No, nothing to do with...
Right. So that's a tie. We're going to go for the golden break. You're going to just keep naming ingredients, and then the first person who messes up, like with a penalty shootout, will win.
I don't even know if I want to win this one.
Ben, we're back to you. Go.
Bread?
No. I
swear to God, if it was toast, I'd go fucking mad. I'm going to go with beef.
Beef is number 11.
Oh.
Ben?
Olive oil.
Number one. Come on. Brendan?
Butter.
Number 3. Ben.
I'm trying to think like a moron. Baked beans.
Oh, what? No. Brendan, it hangs on you, pal. Get this, you've won.
Rosemary.
Come on, man. Come on, man. You're not even trying yet.
Flour.
Number 2 is flour.
Eggs.
Number 7. Oh, my God.
How many have we got? Surely we've got all of the 10 by now.
Now got 6 between you.
Milk.
Milk is number 18.
Sugar.
Number 5. He's gone and done it. He's only gone and clawed it back.
So hold on. These are like baking ingredients, aren't they?
Hey, so if you've got to think about the most popular, most frequently used ingredients, the list is as follows for the top 10. Number 1, olive oil. Number 2, flour. Butter at 3, chicken at 4, sugar at 5. Salt at 6, eggs at 7, rice at 8, vegetable oil at 9, pork at 10.
Oh, mate, that was great. It got me so angry. At one stage, I was just going to go.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you very much. At the end of that game, Brendan is the winner. So, therefore, you are now on 2 apiece for season 2 in the Bendon Championship.
Cheers, Al.
That's great.
That was superb, Alan. Thank you very much. Please keep up the incredible choices of top tens because it's really sauteing my onions.
That was brilliant, lads. I enjoyed that. Thank you all for listening. We were Brendan.
Alan.
Benjamin.
And why did they do that? If you have any stories that you find interesting, please let us know and we'll try and talk about them. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did making it. Please subscribe or follow our podcast to get the most recent episode downloaded straight away.
I think I'm a podcast.